You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and his glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word that we have in our hands, that this is, again, the beginning of our week. We celebrate this as Sundays is because this is the first day of the week that you rose from the dead. But also this is the beginning of our week that we begin our worship until we meet again next Sunday to encourage each other, to build each other up, so that we continue our week of worship, not just one day, not just 1 hour, not even just a half an hour, but we begin our week of worship because everything we do for you. Everything that we're doing, it is we're doing it before your throne. We are standing in front of you on how we act, speak, talk, think, is in your throne room. That is either something very wonderful or something very scary. But this is our week of worship. Please let it be acceptable to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Encouraging, comforting, urging. Don't make me stop this car. Don't make me come back there. I'll give you something to cry about. Usually I didn't hear that from my dad. I heard that from my brothers. I'll give you something to cry about. You're crying? I'll give you something to cry about. My wife, long time ago, we've been getting close to 30 years here of marriage, which is pretty impressive. If you know me, if you really know me, it's very impressive that she thought it was a magic trick, that the girls would be fighting, and I would just go, end of the fight. You know that one, right? You recognize your dad's snap, right? You recognize that one. Yeah, just like that. And my daughters even told me that when they were younger, that I can make them cry with a stare. My stepmom asked me, do you have the Birchall stare? And I said, yes, I do. I got a picture for my ID card, and the person told me to smile. And I showed people, I'm smiling, aren't I? And they said, that's not a smile. And I laughed because I thought, well, that's my normal look, which is a good look. And I also asked them, I said, do I do the big voice? And they said, yes, you do. That I'm calling a patient to the back or speaking to someone. And I'll go out there and I want to make sure that they hear me. That's why I do the big voice. This is the nice voice. This is the nice, easy voice. The big voice is like, Harrison. You kind of tell the difference in the tone and they hear it. They come right to the back. They stand. It doesn't matter if they're a private, an airman, first class, a major, a colonel. I treat everybody the same way. I look at their teeth and I tell them the exact same thing. Hey, that's disgusting. You need to do something about that. I don't sugarcoat it. They'll give me generals and I'll tell them the exact same thing. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm going to tell you the truth. Could have used this for Father's Day as well. That we learn from our fathers even when they're not teaching us. The little things that we see, what they do. And I've heard stories that it's really hard to talk to people who have not had a good relationship with their father and saying, God, our father. Because they maybe see a father as being abusive, as being mean, as being a tyrant. And you have other people who see their father maybe as being maybe a little more wishy-washy, trying to be their best friend. In the very beginning, wanted my girls to see me as not a tyrant, but as a loving father, but also that there are rules to follow. And as they get older, that they know the rules, and people talk about spanking, and we did. This goes to CYFD, they'll come and check us all out, but my girls are awesome. It's not that you did it in anger, but you did it as far as correction. And that's what it speaks about here. Encouraging, comforting, and urging. How do you urge? I want every step of the way, from what my father had to what I had, the next generation on, I want my girls to have better than what we had. And you sacrifice. You do the things so that your family won't do without. And I also want my girls to see on how I am as a father. When they speak of God the Father, they're thinking, I hope they think, and I really wish that they would think, man, my dad was awesome. God must be even so much greater. If my dad is following that example, God must be just so big and so awesome. And that's what I want. That's my goal. Who do you follow? Father knows best. You know, I watched those in reruns as a kid. Leave it to Beaver's dad. Ward, that was his name. Ward Cleaver. And I always try to emulate that. I tried to be the best I could be. Fix things, make things work. Be kind of the all-around dad. And that's what Paul talks about here. Encouraging, comforting, urging. And how do you do those things without being mean? But also, how do you do those things without being kind of too wishy-washy? Maybe spoiling your kids. That's when we pray. And we talk to God. God is not our butler. He is not our abracadabra. Because sometimes when your kids ask you for something, the answer is no. No, you can't do this. No, you can't go there. No, you can't have that. Ephesians 6, and everybody knows this one because this is something that we talk about on Father's Day. Ephesians 6, 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Don't be so cruel. Don't be so mean. Don't be so hard. There has to be a balance of an urging, encouraging, also disciplining. You cannot discipline a child without possibly trying to explain to him why. It's very hard. Because you don't want them to make the same mistakes. You also don't want them to make the same mistakes that you've made. And sometimes they need to learn on their own. They need to make those mistakes. They need to find out how hard it is. Psalms 103, middle of the Bible. Let it fall open. Psalms 103. Verse 13. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. And then right over to Psalms 3, or Proverbs 3. My son, and this is verse 11. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as the father, the son, he delights in. Again, I've said it before, when you get spanked, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. I don't think my parents ever said that to me. They just spanked me. It was well deserved. Especially when my dad was away and there was just my mom and seven kids. Four boys. Three of the boys were a year apart. So what did Jim Gaffigan said? He goes, having so many kids, he goes, imagine that you're in the ocean and you have two babies and you're drowning. And then somebody gives you another baby. It can be very difficult. And that's why when we get older, as we get older, we kind of see the wisdom of our parents. When we're young and growing up, we really don't understand the wisdom that they've tried to impart to us. And usually it takes several years after they leave the house to realize that, wow, they really did know a lot. That I wish I could speak to them one more time. I wish I could talk to them. My mom's still here. My stepmom's still here. And she still drives me crazy. Both of them. But you still want to talk to them. And it's the time that you get a chance to take care of them that you really get to show the love that they showed you. The respect, the honor, the grace, the graciousness that they showed you when you were a little kid, because you look back and you think, half the stuff she didn't catch me doing. Yes, she did. She knew. She just didn't punish me for it. And she would tell me, Raymond, you thought you were getting away with a lot of stuff, but you really didn't. We saw it. You saw that? Why didn't you? Well, we just wanted to give you enough leeway so you could learn your lesson. And there were times that I learned the lessons, really, for me, most of the time. It was the hard way. 2 Samuel 7, verse 14. And this is God speaking to, well, through the prophet, to David. Verse 14. I will be his father. And he's talking, this is God talking through Nathan to David about his son. I will be his father and he will be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with the rod of men, with floggings inflicted by men. But my love will never be taken away from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. And it talks about the rebuke of the Lord. It talks about, again, this teaching, training, and correcting sometimes isn't pleasant. And I'm sure when Paul was with the Thessalonians, some of the stuff that he taught them coming from a pagan background, was difficult. It wasn't easy. But he continued to urge them along, encouraging, comfort, rebuking at times. Don't do that. You can't do that. Other people are watching. And you always heard about don't dishonor the family name. We're Christians. Our Father's in heaven. What are we doing to dishonor the name of God? The family name. Christian. And like I prayed earlier, saying that everything that we're doing is before the throne of God. It is. If God is omnipotent, omniscient, everywhere, all-knowing, everything that we do, thoughts, actions, is right before the throne of God. Nothing is hidden. Where could you go to hide from God? Nothing is hidden. And when you start thinking about those things, when you really start thinking about them, it's like either whew, or uh-oh. You do those things and cheating on a diet. Going into the refrigerator with a spoon and finding the can of frosting. Taking a big scoop, not the little teaspoon, but the giant tablespoon. And you're sitting there and you're eating it, cheating on a diet. No one will know. Where can you go to hide from God? That's not a sin. Okay, don't get me wrong, that's not a sin. But where can you go? That little secret sin that you have in your heart, that anger, that resentment, that secret sin that you think you're hiding, where can you go to hide from God? And we know we're going to make mistakes. We're going to make a lot of mistakes. And God is there with the Holy Spirit in our heart, convicts us. And we know what we should do and what we shouldn't do. And for the most part, I hope that it encourages you to sit there and say, "Oh, I hated what I did. Please, God, forgive me." And continue to train yourself not to do it again. Hebrews 12. Now, before that, Hebrews 12:7, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? This is Hebrews 12:7-10. There we go. If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our father disciplined us for a little while, as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Encouraging, urging, and comforting. That's what we're supposed to do with each other. That's why I said when we come together, this is our beginning week of worship. The whole week that you had before this, that was your week of worship. Now that we get together, we're encouraging each other, strengthening each other, comforting each other for this week coming up. When you are out in the world and that weight of the world is on you, where do you go to get refreshed? Do you continue to go into the world, or do you find fellow Christians? Do you find comfort in God's word, even though sometimes it hurts? Go to Luke 15. And I know I skipped through a lot of verses here, but it's just, you find so many different things. And again, even after today, number one, after today, you have with me one more time. Thank you for putting up with me. But you have me for one more time. But there is just so much information. And I will go home and replay this in my head and thinking, I could have said this. I should have said this. This is Luke 15. We all know the story. The prodigal son. The lost son. When he came to his senses, and this is verse 17. When he came to his senses, and he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him." He went walking back to his father. And maybe I'm reading too much into this, but the father every day was looking for his son. Every day. As God looks for us. Every day. As God looks for us to turn back to him and ask for forgiveness of our sins that we committed against him. Again, your little secret sin that you've done on your own, you may have done it against someone else. But ultimately, it's against God. And he saw his son far off. walking. The father ran to his son. Sandals. You ever run in sandals? Sandals. Long tunic. Had to lift that tunic up, tuck it in his belt, and ran to his kid. Threw his arms around his kid. I have sinned against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Cover him. Take care of him. He's my son. How much more so God say that to us? He's my son. He's my daughter. God is faithful even when we're unfaithful. And at that time, here, that we maybe not follow the wisdom of our fathers, our mother, and we have to learn the lesson the hard way on our own, this is what happened. How many times have you burned your hands on the stove? Don't touch that. It's hot. Don't touch that. It's hot. And you have to realize, don't touch it. And after you touch it, it's hot. But when you do that, even as a young child, you burn your hand. Your parents are there, filled with compassion. And you're crying because your hand is burnt. Your fingers are burnt. Fingertips. And you're crying and they wish they could take the pain away from you. They try to comfort you as much as possible. They try to take that pain away, but they can't. No matter how much they wish. You have a sick child and you're taking care of a sick child. A little baby. They can't really tell you anything that it's really hurting. As a parent, I know this. That I wish that sickness on myself. I wish that pain upon myself because I feel like I can tolerate it a lot better than having my feeling helpless. And that's our sin. God had compassion on us that he sent his son to die for us because we couldn't fix it. We had a sickness that God said, I will fix it. I will take that sickness on myself. I will send my son. From the very beginning, from Genesis, he said, I will send my son to die on the cross for your sins. So as we as a parent could not take that sickness from our kids, God said, I will. I'll take that sin on myself. You can't. I can. Should have kept you in the book of Ephesians. Go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. As a prisoner for the Lord, and this is Paul speaking, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. The son, the prodigal son, knew his way home. He knew where to go. He knew the beginning of his father's land. He said, oh, this is the way home. It does not say it in there, and you can read into it. Don't know. But I'm sure that when the father was running towards his son, he was calling out his name. Same way that God calls us back to repent, calls sinners from the world, How did you first receive the gospel? Who told you? People hear it every single day, the gospel. They hear Jesus' words. They hear God's words. They see creation. Some people don't want to answer that call. How did we know? The urging of the Holy Spirit inside of you. And God sent that person into your life who spoke the gospel to you. Could have been a parent, a friend, a teacher. God calls us, but it's up to us, fellow Christians, to encourage, urge, have compassion, comfort people in their times, so we can do the job that God wants us to do. In the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 6, Isaiah sees the throne of God. And he's overwhelmed with his sin. And God atones for his sin with a burning coal on his tongue. And God asks the question, who shall we send? And Isaiah says, me, send me, send me. That's our week of worship. Again, this is the beginning week. When we're out there, God has sent us into the world. We can pitch our tents out here. We can hang out in the church. We can be just us. We can go to a compound and, well, be a cult. That's what people would call it. Take ourselves out of the world and just live amongst ourselves. But that's not what God wanted. God wanted us out in the world rescuing other people. People who got that call, we are there to encourage, comfort, urge, share the gospel. It's the church responsibility. Not the elders' responsibility, the church. That's the body of believers. That's who we are. That's our job. It's not the new pastor's job. It's not the elders' job. It's our job. It's everyone's job. So when you're out there, how are you representing your family name? What are you doing? Go to 2 Peter, chapter 1. And let's start off on verse 8. 2 Timothy. He's like, what does that mean have to do with this? 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 8. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Called us. And then go back to what we read earlier, what Ted read earlier, 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5. After this, we're going to finish up. We're going to sing a song and you're dismissed. But if you want, they say, benediction, this is it. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Again, a lot of these things we cannot do. Well, all these things we cannot do on our own. Some of us are shy, introverts. Some of us don't like talking to people, talking in front of people. Some of us are grouchy old men who use the big voice at work, maybe intimidate people, do not like small talk. But God gives us openings every single day, again, to reach people. Because how are we to know that that person wasn't called by God? And are we helping them answer that? May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. All our actions, all our deeds, all our thoughts are before the throne of God. Now, how should we live? How should we worship? Is it acceptable and pleasing to God? Again, I'm going to pray. We're going to sing a song, and we're dismissed. Again, to start our next week of worship. That's what we're supposed to do. Got me one more time. There will be a quiz next week. Okay? Will be a quiz. Father, thank you for the mercy and grace you show us every single day. Thank you for the forgiveness of our sins. Forgive us where we fall short. Thank you for the love, the encouragement, the urging that we have from each other, but also from you. May the Holy Spirit continue to convict us, urge us along, guide us on the path, keep our footing on solid ground in your word on the way. Father, thank you for my brothers and sisters that are here today that hear this message, that we continue our week of worship. Thank you for Dave and Sally having a safe trip and being here, that we look forward to, again, learning, continue to be in your word, but also encouraging one another. Thank you for everyone here today who hears your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.